I'm John Williams. So there was a story in the Northwestern student paper the other day, and it was about Jeff Sessions' visit to the campus. A Republican group had invited him to speak. You know how these things go at universities. And the reporting by Daisy Conant, the reporter in the Daily by the Northwestern students, included sentences like, "Former U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has championed students' rights to free speech on college campuses throughout the country." On Tuesday, this story was dated November 6th, by the way, so this is last week. He spoke against the students protesting a talk that he gave at Lutkin Hall on Tuesday, criticizing what he called their stupidity and adding that Northwestern should not tolerate such behavior. As he was speaking, there was a ruckus. Some of the students got mad. Some of them dropped F-bombs. And then Sessions kind of pushed back at them a little bit. Sounds like it didn't get completely out of hand, but the story fairly tells the story of what I think happened there at that event. I wasn't there, but this reporting in the Northwestern student newspaper, I think, gives me a pretty good assessment of it all. Evidently, after writing about that, the staff at the student paper started to hear it from students online, maybe on Twitter, maybe direct text messages to them, maybe their friends on campus. And so then they wrote an apology, which they posted on behalf of the editorial staff of the student newspaper. They wrote, "On November 5th, Attorney General Jeff Sessions spoke on campus. The Daily sent a reporter to cover that talk. We recognize that we contributed to the harm that students experienced, and we want to apologize for and address the mistakes we made that night, along with how we plan to move forward." And then they apologized for a photo or photo coverage of the event. Some of the protesters found, they write, photos posted to reporters' Twitter accounts, re-traumatizing and invasive. Those photos have since been taken down. Later, they wrote, some students voiced concern about the methods the Daily staffers used to reach out to them. They point out that they use the student staff directory. And they write, we recognize being contacted like this is an invasion of privacy. They wrote, we also wanted to explain our choice to remove the name of one of the protesters. Any information the Daily provides about the protests can be used against the participating students. While some universities grant amnesty to student protesters, Northwestern does not, and we did not want to play a role in any disciplinary action that could be taken by the university. I think that's a fascinating point. Right. So if we put your name and picture in the paper and then you get in trouble for how you behaved at the event, maybe you get kicked out of school. Who knows? We don't want that to happen to you. So we're going to take that information down. Ultimately, they wrote, the Daily failed to consider our impact in our reporting surrounding Jeff Sessions. They wrote that they met as a staff Sunday to discuss where our reporting and our empathy fell short. And then it really hit the fan. Maggie Haberman from the New York Times said this is crazy. Robert Feeder, the Chicago area media writer, called their editorial apology embarrassing, a teachable moment, bizarre, groveling, and astonishing. It was written about in the Washington Post. Associated Press carried the story nationwide. We reached out to the editorial staff at the Daily. They declined our invitation. Charles Whitaker is on a phone line. He's the dean of the Medill School. Hi, Charles. It's John Williams. Thanks for joining us on WGN Radio.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
To be clear, this is not a product of the faculty or staff. It's not. Explain to me the relationship between the school and the student newspaper.
The student newspaper is an independent 501c3, has been almost since it was incorporated. The students operate autonomously. They do not have a faculty advisor. They make their own independent editorial decisions independently. They will occasionally reach out to faculty for advice or consultation when they're wrestling with difficult issues or difficult studies, difficult situations. That's not a requirement, and to the best of my knowledge, they didn't do so at this moment either.
It is the paper of record, though, for the students. It's the main paper on campus, right?
It is actually the main paper for all intents and purposes for the city of Evanston. It is indeed the paper of record.
What was your reaction when you first read the story, or maybe more importantly, the apology?
When I read the stories, I thought it was actually business as usual. I didn't think anything was untoward or in any way out of bounds about the stories. I heard chatter about the Sessions appearance, as well as the kerfuffle outside and surrounding the appearance. So actually nothing, I didn't find anything about the coverage remarkable. My first thought when I read the apology was, my goodness, they're apologizing for doing journalism, and I wished that they had reached out to us before they made the decision to run the apology. I had had conversations with a student or two on the staff following the appearance of the stories and the photographs. And it's important to note the story itself is not what students on campus and student activists were outraged about. And that's an important note, is there was outrage in the activist community on campus about the student staffers publishing photographs of the protesters and reaching out to protesters using the student directory and other means, social media as well. There was this agitation on campus about photographs being used and how those photographs might be used against the student protesters if action was to be taken against them. So I did talk to some students shortly after that, who were feeling guilt about possibly contributing to students getting in trouble for being seen in these pictures. I told them they have nothing to be guilty about. That's what journalism is. These students have chosen to participate in this very public act of protesting against a speaker on campus. How could they expect anything other than to be than for the paper record to make note of that?
You know, that's an interesting point. I'm going to pause here. Come back with me in a minute. But I think who needs an education here as well is the student body at Northwestern, not just the students. If you think you're going to go to a speech by Jeff Sessions and you're going to protest, what expectation do you have for privacy, Mr. Dean, in a minute? The dean we're talking to is Charles Whitaker from the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University. The student newspaper there made headlines across the country when they apologized for their coverage, which was upsetting to some of their readers, the students. I'm all for being sensitive to your audience, but it seems like they were too sensitive, Dean. And that was the point I was making a moment ago. I don't think the students that go to protests have any expectation of privacy, and I think that the student journalists, who are so empathetic, I don't know how we did this, but we raised a generation of kids on college campuses now that are more feeling than we are. If they're going to do what they do, they need to know that sometimes feelings are going to get hurt and you pay the price for it. What are your thoughts about that?
I don't know. I think, well, at first, yes, absolutely right. The students who participated in the protest should have no, in a public protest, in a very public space, should have absolutely no expectation of privacy. This is an act in which they wanted attention. They were hoping to get action and the attention of the administration and of Mr. Sessions. And if that was their intent, then they certainly should have expected that they would also get the attention of the media, and that that would also be recorded, both for posterity, but also not only for posterity, but not only for the current audience, but also for posterity, which I have said. I will say, not necessarily in defense of the student journalists, but this is a generation of students who have grown up watching episodes of civil disobedience, especially episodes of civil disobedience that involved people of color be mischaracterized in the media, and they are very sensitive to those mischaracterizations. This is also a group of kids who are grown up with critical race theory and gender studies and a lot of different scholarly interpretations of the ways in which media has victimized various marginalized groups, and they are hypersensitive to that as a result of those studies. And I think projected all of that and took their very basic reporting and internalized all that they are feeling, and then wound up kind of forgetting that what they really did was not what other people and other media outlets have been accused of. They did very basic journalism, and for that, they needn't have issued an apology.
They're student journalists, right? So isn't this the student part? I mean, they're learning how to write a lead, and they're also learning how to react to criticism and when to apologize or how to report.
So are you suggesting
that's right. They're navigating this, you know, in this cauldron? I think because it's Northwestern, because it's Medill, because we have so many of our alumni are prominent members of the media.
Yeah.
There's a spotlight on them, and so this was a mistake that was shouted out loud, and they were sort of pilloried for it nationwide.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, they're students, and they made a student mistake.
And
yes,
are you two agreeing that we should give these kids a break for that? More so than we might.
I do agree.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm a little confused, though, about the insertion of the race, gender, LGBTQ sensitivity signals that you were throwing out. How did that come into play here?
Many of these protesters were students of color. And I do think there was a component, and many of our student reporters are not. And so I think there is this tension between students of color who are protesting, people who are not necessarily students of color, white students who are covering them, a sense that you are coming in as interlopers, invading this space, and depicting us in ways that are not true, or a suspicion and expectation that you are going to depict us in ways that are not true. I don't think that was at all the case, but
right.
I think all of that gets conflated in the way this event played out.
So is that what maybe the subtext here is, or that's the elephant in the room? It's not the reporting on Jeff Sessions. It was white students reporting about black protesters in a way that made them feel marginalized.
They weren't all black. They were students, a multi-ethnic group of, multi-racial group of protesters. But yes, I do think it is, there is certainly a race and ethnicity component, a subtext to this as well.
Yeah. Troy Claussen, who's the editor-in-chief at The Daily, said, I just followed his Twitter thread, one of the first things I was told when I came into this position was that I was the third black executive editor of The Daily in more than 135 years of publication. I knew that would come with a lot of pressure, but I didn't realize how much until over the past 2 weeks. Being in this role and balancing our coverage and the role of this paper on campus with my racial identity and knowing how our paper has historically failed students of color, particularly black students, has been incredibly challenging to navigate. I'll let you go here after you respond to this, but what would you say to Troy? We asked him to come on, and I don't blame him for not doing it, but I mean, what would you say to Troy?
I think he has to navigate, as you know, all journalists of color do, where your not that you divorce yourself from your race and ethnicity, but what you do is you use that lens to be as fair and objective as possible, to provide a perspective that the newsroom may not otherwise have, but you stay true to the core values of journalism. And that is, again, accuracy, objectivity, trying to be as balanced as possible when you cover stories. That doesn't mean, again, that you abandon or try to divorce yourself from what you bring to the table. It means that enhances the coverage. But you've got to be very careful not to allow that then to prevent you from doing the job at hand. And again, I feel for the students. It was a very difficult moment for them. They were getting lots of pressure and kind of hateful messages on social media. And I think they bowed to that pressure in this instance. But I think this has been a learning experience for them.
Charles Whitaker is the dean of the Northwestern University Medill School of Journalism and a man gifted with an extraordinary voice. Charles, thank you.
Thank you, John.
I want a little of whatever it is that you're having, Charles.
Please.
Nice to meet you on the phone. Join us in studio sometime. I know you've got places to be. Go do that, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks, John. Take care.
Charles Whitaker at Medill.